Good morning. Welcome back on KODY, 1240 AM and 106.1 FM, both proud members of the Husker Radio Group. Tristan Winder, glad to be in the studio with State Senator Mike Groney joining us for our weekly legislative update. Of course, Senator Groney representing District 42. Mike, as always, we appreciate the time. Good to see you in the studio.
Yes, appreciate it that you guys do this for the constituents and I can visit with them.
It's a win-win opportunity, yeah. That's for sure.
Yeah, so. For everybody around.
Absolutely.
But the more transparency, the more you get to speak to the elected officials, get to go direct instead of through the press is better for democracy.
Mm-hmm. And Senator Groney, busy week in the legislative session last week. We're in session Tuesday through Friday. A lot of activities.
Yeah, too long. But I dropped my final bills, and you might have been reading that in the papers. Mm-hmm. I dropped a property tax bill just so we had. I talked to Senator Linehan and some others, and we had a bill on the floor in Revenue Committee to counter Senator Wall's disaster of just throw money at public education and very little property tax. Billed as a property tax bill, but her two bills and Lindstrom's revenue side of the bill is just a disaster. Senator Lindstrom doesn't understand property taxes, apparently, but or neither does Wall's. But basically, it's the property tax portion of what we had for 1106 that we had so close to passing a couple of years ago with 1107, but a couple of people betrayed us and went the other direction, so we had to ended up with that property tax credit on our income taxes, which is a farce. But anyway, so we brought that just for a counter bill on to the Walls's. But anyway, proposal. And then I brought I brought the medical marijuana bill. Mm-hmm. I didn't want to, but we waited. A lot of us waited till Senator Wishart to see if she would bring it again because she's championed it in the past. And it was the very last day, and we had a bill ready, so I dropped it. And I fit the profile for dropping it because last year I stood up in favor of Wishart's. I'm a reasonable man, common sense man. I cut my losses, and I'm not going to. Anybody who denies that certain uses of cannabis, CBDs and THC, certain uses works as a very effective pain relief, anti-inflammatory drug. And it works very well for seizures of high, the severe cases of epilepsy, and it works for end of life. Mm-hmm. Nausea from chemo really helps. It's documented. I mean, people don't make that up. I've had too many individuals come up to me and tell me what it's done for them. And as far as an addictive drug, yeah, it's addictive just like everything else is. But I don't think anybody at their end of life worries about getting addicted to something. They just want to be able to be at peace in their last days. But it's very restrictive as it's written, and we're trying to head off the petition drive. Mm-hmm. The governor and some others have tried to fight it, but I was told by those in the know that every single poll they take, no matter what demographic, what part of the state, it's 75% or more favorable. What got me really was this last episode with COVID. I used to have trust in big pharmaceutical companies, the free market. I used to have trust in our FDA.
Sure.
Not anymore. Our Federal Drug Administration, not anymore.
I think we all did at one point.
What I seen was the greed on the vaccines. What I seen was the absolute denial of treatments that anecdotally work. And then I seen Merck and others copy some of the Imovectin, basically use the same chemistry, and then turn around and charge it for $500 a dose. I used to stand on the floor and said I wanted the system to work, the FDA, the pharmaceutical companies, to look at the cannabis plant and use it for medical purposes. God didn't make it. Just make it. There's a purpose he made it on this earth. 80% of our drugs come from plants, period. And all drugs can be abused. So, but they wouldn't because there was no profit in it. That's the only conclusion I can come to. They would not do it, and people want relief. So we're bringing a bill Hopefully we can restrict it. You know, it's going to be in the pill or liquid form only, which most medicine is, because it has to be processed. You know, any medicine has a certain percentage of the active ingredient. You can't do that by just picking a weed out of the ditch and smoking it. And that way, law enforcement, if they find somebody with the actual plant, can't claim they're taking it for medical purposes because that's not legal. So we're doing that, and, you know, there's some things we have to clean up. Hopefully we get it passed. There should be a consortium of people who would help, you know, and then there'll be some surprising proponents of it that you wouldn't think would. But they finally listened to me when I gave the speech last year on the floor about it's the lesser of two evils. It's once the petition passes, it's out of the hands of elected officials.
And that's what I wanted to bring up, too. I think there's some people, Senator Groney, that might be surprised that this is a measure that you've introduced. And I wasn't surprised because you've talked about it before many times on the program, and I believe on the unicameral floor, too, that if we go about this the right way, there could still be something done in the proper manner for the state of Nebraska. Whereas if we wait until a petition drive passes, the elected officials don't have much control over how it's done in the state, and then we end up with a mess on our hands.
You have good people, good, solid citizens who are at the point of breakage that they're going to Colorado and other states, buying it and coming home and breaking the law. They don't want to break the law. They want it to be legal, and they want good medical advice before they take it. So I don't see any other way around it, but we're surrounded. It's happening. You know, one guy jumped on me about addictive drug. I said, I've seen it. I seen it when I was in college. I've never used it. I mean, I've been around it. I've inhaled it. I went to concerts in Lincoln Persian Auditorium in the 70s in college, and I think I came out stoned a few times because the place was just full of smoke. But not because I wanted to take it. I wanted to see good music. But it was everywhere back when I was growing up. Mm-hmm. And those guys have lived. 280 people died of opiate overdoses in the state of Nebraska last year. And you compound that with how many have been addicted, severely addicted. So don't tell me because it's a man-made drug that it's somehow pure, that it's legit. So anyway, I've introduced that. I told the people who brought it to me that I wouldn't prioritize it. They said they would find somebody else to prioritize it, but I had the profile to introduce it because I've supported it in the past. And then some headlines in the paper said, well, guy who always hated it all of a sudden liked it. Well, if you were born righteous and a Puritan, that everything that you were born with that you knew was correct and you never went through life and learned things that you changed in opinion, bless you. But I wasn't born that way. I have to study and look at issues, and sometimes I'm wrong, and I admit it. But otherwise, I bought the discipline bill again because of what's going on in our schools. Teachers are quitting. A lot of it's the COVID stuff with the mask and the
factors
and,
in.
And but it's the classroom demeanor.
Discipline still remains to be an issue in the classroom. Yeah. COVID may be, I guess, the headline in the classroom at this point, but discipline is still very much.
But when I brought it again because the teachers' union did another survey of their and discipline classroom was big. They can't control the classroom. Sure. It's just disruptive. I mean, Senator Wayne, you talk about, he's a friend, but he's a hypocrite. He ran the filibuster on the first time about it because he didn't want his people being disciplined and being picked on. Well, guess what? His kids are attending a private school right now because of the issues in the public schools in Omaha. Tell me about it. He's told me he won't fight it again, but he won't say anything for or against it. But, you know, that's a chance for him to step up and say he was wrong, as I did with the medical marijuana. But anyway, that's another issue I'm bringing. And I haven't decided. I've talked about doing the NCORE bill as my priority, but there might be a bigger issue out there I need to finalize my career with. But if we don't, if Senator Wayne for too long has gotten away with this bullying tactic, he's the same thing, it's the same MO every year, stands up and says, nothing's going to happen in here until you give me money for my district. Well, I'm going to ask him some questions. You know, sustainable beef. We have a project. We know what it's going to do. It's going to create economic activity, going to give people on the lower end of the economic scale good-paying jobs. If we give North Omaha money, what are you going to do with it? Just pass it around like the Biden administration does? Or are you going to actually create some long-term economic activity and jobs and improvement for the people of your district? Name it. Tell me where it's going, and I'll agree with you. But don't just tell me I'm going to give you money. As we've done in the past, I want some results. So anyway, I'm gonna ask my good friend a few questions next week if he continues this tactic on the floor.
Now, Senator Groney, can you tell us the timetable of some of these measures that you've introduced now, specifically the marijuana bill? Where will that be at for debate then?
Well, I got to get it a hearing on it. I dropped it late, so it's hard to get it into the session. I mean, into the hearing schedule. If I get Senator Wishart, who I'm going to sit down and visit with, who's favorable to helping, but she's also one of the sponsors for the petition process. Mm-hmm. But she bought, you know, and I helped her last year, so she has a little bit of a owes me. But and we can come up with an amendment to kind of appease both sides. I could get that through the committee, and it could be on the floor, and then it's a matter of getting somebody to prioritize it.
Okay.
But but it's a rock and a hard place. Some of my conservative friends know they need to support it because they know what's coming with the petition drive. They fought tooth and nail the gambling. If we would have done something about gambling ahead of the petition drive and did the people's will, the state would have been in control of it. Now it's drag our feet, pass bills. Everybody wants a casino, including North Platte. Man, why not if everybody else wants one? But it's a... You know, there's a reason we have a system we have. Pure, simple petition process, I'm all for it. But it also can be, a pure, simple democracy can be not a good thing. Because there's always a minority that can be harmed. And that's why you try to balance it with debate and good legislation through an elected body instead of passing, you know. There's issues that need to be passed by petition, but when you start passing legislation, when it's multifaceted, there's no amendment process like there is in the legislative process. So I think a lot of my conservative friends know that, and they get enough on board. If we can bring the Democrats on board, they might put their feet in the sand, knowing they want the petition passed because it's more liberal and more open and more liable to be easily abused and lead to recreational marijuana. But my bill wouldn't do that. It treats it as a medicine.
Lesser of two evils, like you said.
Yeah,
I think that's the perfect way to describe it.
I don't know. If you've got a child with severe epilepsy, I wouldn't call it an evil.
No.
But it's the way we're supposed to do. All drugs are bad. Alcohol, I mean, you want to ban alcohol. They knew what they were doing. More people die of that.
Yeah, I want to talk about an addictive substance.
Yeah, so it's how you police it. Almost drugs are, you know, are, a lot of them are addictive. Fentanyl kills a lot of people now. The opiates are a disaster. And medical marijuana fits into that use. It's a good option.
Again, we have District 42 Senator Mike Groney joining us for our weekly legislative update here on KODY. Mm-hmm. And Senator Groney, Convention of the States was a big topic in the legislative session a week ago. Senator Halloran has really championed this cause out of Hastings.
I was both sides of it. I really, if we're in such a mess that nobody's obeying the Constitution now and doing things around it, then how, why would you expect if you added to the Constitution whoever? It's a matter of integrity. If you don't follow law now, making the law stricter ain't going to make it any better, ain't going to have any more. So really, and opening it up wasn't a good idea, but I supported Senator Halloran. He worked so hard on it. It's got to get to 38 states. We're only at 15. And then there was an amendment dropped on it for a five-year sunset, which makes it a lot better. If they don't get the 38 states in 5 years, then our application sunsets.
Expires, essentially.
Yeah, expires. That was good. I wasn't there to vote on that second round because I was finalizing the medical cannabis bill prior to being dropped. It was dropped on me that hour before that Senator Wishart wasn't going to bring hers, and we needed to bring a different a version of it. So
you're in crunch time.
Yeah, crunch time. It happens down there. But anyway, so that, yeah, that's done and over. And inheritance tax, I had a quandary there. My family's paid theirs. It's sadly the wealthy get ways around it, and I think the compromise was good, raising the amount, you know, to $100,000. When you start having to pay at $40,000, if your uncle dies and gives you a pickup and a trailer and a boat, you're paying inheritance tax. I mean, that's wrong. So we changed that. But also, I'll tell you what, when I see Senator Hunt and Senator DeBoer out there on the floor that are the offspring of very wealthy people and will inherit a lot and didn't do a damn thing for it, I start believing in inheritance tax. Plus, but anyway, and I've raised my kids to make their own. It's a bit more satisfaction if you've earned it yourself. But and the county's, it ain't the county's fault. That's the only income we gave them was property taxes and inheritance tax. And Lincoln County uses it wisely. They keep mm-hmm. it aside for those major projects. But anyway, if you tell most farmers, give me property tax or inheritance tax, they'll take property tax relief. They want to build the wealth they have, and then their kids can worry about if they're not going to worry about it anymore. Mm-hmm. Kids can worry, offspring can worry about the inheritance tax. So I reluctantly supported it. The compromise was good. We needed to make some changes to update it, so I did that. And otherwise,
yeah, I think some of the adaptions include adding like stepchildren onto the bill and things like that too. So
I thought they were already on there, but they clarified it, I guess.
Made it more clear, I guess.
Yeah, but that's over. But now we're starting to really get into the deep weeds, and then I fought the. I did not support the DNA bill. Mm-hmm. I mean, where Senator Hilkeman wanted to, if you now, which I agree with, if you're convicted of a violent crime, rape, or anything, your DNA is kept by the state and given to the national database, and then they can check for crimes. Across the United States.
Cross-reference, essentially.
Yeah. You're already a felon. This bill would have said, once you were processed, I can't think of the term, that you were going to go to court. Their DNA was taken and ran through the system. All right? And then if they were innocent or plead down it wasn't a felon, they had to ask. Then their DNA was taken out of the state one. They had to apply to get it out of the federal one, and they were proved that to be innocent. There's a little problem I have with the Fourth Amendment Constitution of illegal seizure and search. When you start taking somebody, you're searching somebody in a modern way, taking their DNA, when there is no accusation that they committed a crime, and then going out hunting to find a crime. To me, it was big government getting their foot in the door that they'll have I'm sure it's going to happen, hopefully after I'm dead. There's going to be a DNA registry where every American's going to have their DNA registered, and they're going to claim it's for health reasons, like a vaccine, and they're going to be able to find out by your DNA if you've been vaccinated with these new gene therapy vaccines. They're going to be able to find out if you have a hereditary disease in your genetics that you're susceptible to having children with Down syndrome or MS or something, and they're going to tell you you need to be sterilized, and they're going to tell you, and they're going to find out what your race is, what your background is. You won't need a Social Security number. You won't need to register to vote, because they'll have it all.
Oh yeah.
And if you want that, folks, then and because you want security over freedom, fine. But I'm going to do whatever I can to stop it.
Doesn't sound like America to me.
No, but that, well, when you start with this kind of a, let's say a local sheriff decides he doesn't like Joe Blow, And he knows Joe Blow's been doing a crime, but he can't prove it. So a crime happens three blocks away. The sheriff goes, and I'm not accusing mine, he's a good man, honest man, goes down, he said, let's make him a suspect, even though we know he was in the bar that night. And we bring him in, and we get him as a suspect, and then press charges, we can get his DNA. Mm-hmm. And then we can cross-reference for other crimes in the community. Is that what you want? But so I don't think, after my speech the other day, I turned a couple of votes, I think, and I don't think it's going to finally be passed. There was a judge, I can't think it was, Holmes or whoever, it said one time, you know, he'd rather have 10 men go, 10 in it, 10, 10 guilty men go free than have one innocent man found guilty. I lean that way.
Yeah. And like you said too, Senator Groney, Sheriff Kramer, great individual. I would say all law enforcement in your legislative district are great people, but we don't know what the future holds. And also, I don't know about law enforcement in the rest of the state. They could be just as great as the one in our legislative district. I don't know, but it's concerning.
And I understand why they want the tool. They've seen these ugly crimes, and they want every tool they can get.
Yeah, you can see where they're coming from to a point.
But their job is to arrest that crimes after they've been committed. My job is different. My job is the oath I took when I was sworn in to protect the Constitution of the United States and the Constitution of the State of Nebraska. So I have come at it a different viewpoint than my law enforcement friends. And not all law enforcement folks are for this. Mm-hmm. I mean, but the Attorney General is. But, you know, it's a hard world. Freedom's hard. Mm-hmm. And sometimes bad things are happening, bad people get away with things because we protect the freedom of the innocent. And I don't know. Maybe if we had my discipline bill passed, kids would be taught boundaries and taught self-respect and respect for others, but teachers would be able to do that, and we wouldn't have so many people.
And I'm glad you brought that up, because Sheriff Kramer's brought that up before too, Senator Groney. If we started disciplining in the classroom, I think that we wouldn't have to do as much disciplining at the Lincoln County Detention Center, and that's what ends up happening in a lot of cases.
The old saying, you know, is true, bring them up in the way they should go, and they'll go return to it. You teach them that they don't have to go to school every day because they only go 3 days because of COVID, and you don't have to. You can sit in front of this computer or not, and one day you go here, and one day it's 4 o'clock in the afternoon, one day you start at 10. How do you learn a work ethic? Mm-hmm. Which part of education was is this getting into the routine 5 days a week. You're somewhere, and you are responsible for things, and then you go on about your life. I don't know what's going to happen to the next generation, but then I'm old, and I worry. But there's reasons we've done things in this country, and some rigor, and we had some, repetition. So we learned certain habits as Americans.
Now, Senator Groney, one issue I wanted to bring up was a measure that Senator Slama introduced, and it was to make the legislature an official partisan committee, change the nonpartisan makeup of the legislature. Is this a measure that you've looked at a lot yet, and what are your thoughts on it?
It's what I've always said. It's make it partisan, because I understand nonpartisan in the legislature. I mean, fine. But when you're running for office, there are a lot of people who work, they belong to a political party for a reason. There's a platform, and they know this person, if they say they're a Republican, a Democrat, or an Independent, or a Libertarian, stand for this. And I didn't have a chance to do the research, so I know this person is, and I'm going to vote for that person. And if you could have a primary for the party primary for, like, the legislature, and there's one who claims to be conservative and one who claims not to be, that conservative is going to get through the Republican primary. Way it is now, because the moderates, the independents, the Democrats can vote, the moderate can pick off a few moderate Republicans and get the Democrat vote, and then pretty soon they're in the legislature and they say they're a Republican. They're conservative. They're not. You can vet them out early, and the state's legislature might look the way its governor does, its congressmen do, its senators do, conservative. It's clarity, and people would be assured that who they voted for represented the beliefs they had or didn't represent the beliefs they had because they were of the opposite political ideology. So anyway, I like her bill. It's the biggest problem down there.
It's absolutely.
It's the person, it's not the rhino, it's the, I call them unicamelists that have no bearings at all. They just, whatever they feel that day would help them or get their stuff done, they'd have no moral core, and they will vote for things just to be collegial. So, and that's how they got through life. Never offended anybody, just kind of took all sides and ended up in the legislature. So I like her bill.
And then somewhat related news, too. I've not had a chance to dive into it in full force quite yet, but I did see the state's GOP party has issued somewhat of a statement in regards to Senator Moorfield and running for, is it Lancaster County Attorney that he's hoping to run for? I think the state GOP has released a bit of a statement on that, and I'm sure that you're supportive of that statement.
They want to, you have to be an active attorney. He's not. He's got a law degree. This guy wants to be a county attorney, and he might win because of the liberal Lincoln, Lancaster County. What does a county attorney do? Mostly criminal cases. Truancy, rape, murder. I mean, you name it. They do it. Robbery, vandalism. It's mundane to them, but they do it every day. And they do divorce cases. This guy's never been in a criminal courtroom. And he wants to be the county attorney. Because he wants to not even worry about that. He just wants to let everybody out. You know, the Black Lives Matter thing where nobody's guilty of anything. You just had social situations. So he wants to be, and he's running. And he has a good chance to win.
And is he up against his term limit in the legislature?
Yeah, he came in the same time I did.
Okay,
he's
I thought so.
One of my nemesis. But he's bought and paid for by Susie Buffett. He came in making, it cost me probably $500,000 to be a state senator, lost, you know, revenues. He went in as a poor kid coming out of college, basically, with, you know, doing public service law cases, and he's going to leave living in a $650,000 house, driving a nice vehicle, because Susie Buffett and he's created that Civics Nebraska organization, and Susie Buffett gives him $1 million a year. And then Civics Nebraska is one of those that does canvassing out there on ballot harvesting, gets a bunch of young kids full of mush. He gets paid $300,000 from the Lincoln Public Schools to bring his people in to teach civics. I mean, really. He's done well. But it's what I call limousine liberals. It's what, you know, I can live well, but you can't. So, but he wants to be a county attorney. It's times we live in.
Senator Groening, anything else you wanted to address this morning, sir?
No, I do want to know the facts. I got them, so, and I'll surely share them anytime you want. So, anyway, you can contact my office, let me know. Call me a drug pusher, whatever you want, but I'm going to try to do what the best I can for my constituents.
Senator Groening, as always, we very much appreciate the time. Best of luck this week in the current legislative session, which rolls on today, day number 12.
Yes.
My goodness. Good luck to you, Senator Groening.